Hello, this is Black Country Blokes Chewing the Fat.
Listen.
I've been hearing a lot lately about men don't talk. But in my experience, men do talk, just people aren't listening. So it's going to be me and a group of blokes discussing our struggles and victories through life. Warning, there may be some bad language, so apologies to all the moms, especially my own. Let's get going.
Listen.
I've been here, Black Country Blokes, Chewing the Fat, here with me, Kev Dillon, Lee Cadman, and today we're talking about the power of laughter. And as we know, laughter is the best medicine. And we've got a man on today, Aaron. I can't pronounce his last name, but he'll tell you for you in a second. And he's come up with this thing saying laughter size. So, Aaron, thank you, my brother, for coming on.
Great. Good to see you. How been you?
I've been you. We love to keep it a bit Black Country. And even though Derby's only down the road, it's how different our dialects are, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's quite different.
It's because you're a lot cool speak proper.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, hi, everyone. Yeah, my name's Aaron, and I run a business called Laughter Size, and where we do team building sessions for business and organisations, and we do children videos for schools around the world. And so we've had a really busy year through lockdown, and I'm on here to talk about laughter. I'm here to talk about the difference between men and women when it comes to well-being. I've had a good experience over the last year and a half in the well-being business that is predominantly women, and just great to talk to Lee and Kev about it today. And yeah.
Well, it's funny, like when we were saying about, like, I've mentioned this today to a few people down at the gym, saying laughter therapy. And all the blokes have gone like, oh, well, like, I don't know about that. Whereas women have gone, oh, I enjoy laughing. And I think the one thing that I want to discuss with you today is, like, as we say, when you're laughing, it's a true belly laugh. Isn't it brilliant? The endorphins, we feel great. But, like, sometimes when it feels like maybe it's a forced laugh. So maybe if you could explain the difference.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been doing virtual sessions, and we've been doing hundreds for NHS and businesses through lockdown. And they're quite extrovert. And so to give you an idea, all the sessions that we do are drop-in. Anyone can come to them, and yet 95% is female. So, but that's fine. But yeah, laughter, I mean, it doesn't matter how you laugh. I mean, I was watching like loads of funny videos on YouTube the other day, and it doesn't matter. In terms of the sessions that we do, we try and get people laughing in quite a natural way. And then again, it doesn't matter how you laugh, you're laughing with your friends, and it feels good.
Well, we've seen that at our support groups that we do every Wednesday from the Lions Boxing Club. And even though we talk about some serious subjects, just having a genuine laugh with other people, because we don't want anyone to be the butt of the joke. We don't want to laugh at anyone. But laughing together is brilliant. And I think that laughter in a group like builds the tribe closer.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, if you're just laughing together. Tell you what, I'll do an exercise with you today. Everyone can join in. This is something, it's more difficult than it looks. We call it a brain buzz. And it's just an example of doing something and it creates laughter because it's quite difficult. So if you do the peace sign. Okay, so get the peace sign going, and then do the perfect sign. Okay, and this is a brain game.
Kev's confused already.
Yeah, confused. We've got Kev already. So peace and okay. And then this is the difficult bit. So you're switching it around.
Switch it around.
So you need to switch over hands.
Okay. Oh, no. That is really awkward.
And it's so much more difficult than it actually looks.
Yeah, that is really awkward.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just a brain game that you can do. I mean, then it just gets people laughing because it's so difficult. I'll tell you what, Kev, you can try that with your children with boxing. It actually helped with coordination. But there's so many things you can do on that. And,
We'll try that tomorrow in the support group, I think. Let's see who can do it.
Yeah.
Obviously, us two are rubbish at it.
But isn't it funny, these little mind games, like my daughter, Jasmine, and she was doing like, you can't, was it draw numbers? was it number six with your one hand, with your foot, and do something. I can't even remember what it was, and it blew my mind.
Like that rub your belly while tapping your head. Yeah, yeah. So,
but these are all kind of things that I think are good, like when I've worked with different practitioners on anxiety. It's taking your mind away from the thing that you're anxious about. And it's about distraction. It's not smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. And like when we do the sessions, we're doing like half an hour and everyone's just having a bit of fun. Is you're not thinking about anxiety. You're not thinking about anything. Like when you were doing that then, you weren't thinking about any stresses you've got or the kids doing your head in or whatever. And it's just good for our minds. And one of the big reasons I wanted to come on today is because I personally believe that there's not everything is for everyone. And the work we do, because I'm not trying to sell my business today, is very out there and it's not for everyone. And what I've learned over the last year is that it's okay that for that to be. And I think as long as you're doing a certain amount of things to positively affect your mental health, then it's fine. If it's going down the gym, boxing, if it's going for five-a-side, if it's you know, going for a walk at dinner, doesn't really matter. And as long as you're doing something.
Well, me and Leah, ever since I started, me, Leah, and the other two blokes, Aaron and Craig, we've always said you've got to find your medicine. And I think that's so right, because boxing isn't for everyone. Golf isn't for everyone. Star Trek isn't it. But you've got to find what works for you. And I think what you're doing is great, and it will suit some people, won't it? And how did you go down this route?
So I got made redundant twice, and which is obviously quite painful. And then I was in quite a good situation financially because of that. So I just decided to take a jump, and I did something called laughter yoga training. And then I just did that, and I thought there's a space for this in businesses where teams are going to come together and have a bit of fun. I was thinking about doing some of the exercises on the show, but I just don't think it's the right kind of, you need the right kind of circumstances. And I don't almost want to put people off because it's kind of not for everyone. But I just got into it, I took a risk, and it's worked out quite well. And we're doing a load of sessions now. We've got a load for NHS. Because they kind of need it at the moment. So we're going into their business, get groups of teams coming together. We're doing all these fun exercises together, laughter exercises, brain buzz games, team building activities. And people are just having a laugh in a natural way. And it's great.
Aaron, that was the thing when I first spoke to you, I think, on LinkedIn, my first thought was, is this going to be someone who's just going to try and get everyone in a room and kind of fake laugh it out, you know what I mean? Just stand there and go, oh, everyone just start laughing, you know, that kind of thing, and just fake laughing. But now you've explained the way you do it, and you've already got us laughing. We've had comments come in that are put up on the screen, and it's getting everyone else laughing. And after just hearing that and seeing how you do it, I'd definitely come to one of the groups. You know, it doesn't scare me as much as it did before.
Or even if, like, one of the Wednesday evenings, if you'd like to come to one of our support groups and take part, and even if we can just pick your brains, and, you know, maybe that's a great way of starting them.
Yeah, I think if, you know, and then you're more than happy to film that and show this to everyone, because then it's the right circumstance to do that kind of thing, and everyone will be kind of in their zone. And at the moment, everyone needs a bit of unseriousness, and people are reacting quite well to these kind of sessions because we're just bombarded with seriousness. And I don't know about you, but I'm not reading the news anymore. I've made a decision to kind of not read it, and because it just gets you down. And I think people are reacting quite well to these kind of sessions where it's just okay to have a bit of fun and let your guard down.
Well, I think like 12 months ago, we were watching the news every time the news come on, and You can drown in the news, can't you? Because there ain't much stuff on the news, on any of the news channels, which is good news. Whereas I think, you know, some days, you know, when I've on the weekend or whatever, I've just put Dave on or UK Gold, and I've sat there all day watching Only Fools and Horses, and I felt so much better because I'm laughing at something I've laughed at 100 times, but the feeling of laughter is euphoric, isn't it? You just feel great.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. I mean, I was watching YouTube videos of what's that? Impractical joke.
Oh, yeah,
brilliant. I was howling, and you know what? You feel great after it. And there is a part of laughter yoga practice where you do laughter without laughing. You've got to force yourself. And I don't really believe in that. And I want to create an environment where people are just, you're just trying to get them to laugh naturally together. And it doesn't matter. I always say at the end of sessions is, people, they've just been very playful for half an hour, and challenge people to be more playful in their life. And, you know, we're all quite serious guys, you know, and a lot of guys sometimes get quite bogged down in not letting the guard down. And I think it's quite important to play. Like if you've got children, if you've got pets, just go outside and have a play with them. And because then you've got an excuse. You can look silly, and you can just do it and be a child or play tug with your dog. And I really encourage everyone to have playfulness in your life every day.
Well, we through lockdown, me and my daughter, I'm still buying CDs. I still love buying CDs, and we bought the Best of Disney, and we're dancing to Hakuna Matata and You Want to Swing Like Me. And I put a little video on Instagram saying, if you can't be silly with your own children, what's wrong? And I went, we've got to be there to make our children laugh, and we've got to be there to make each other laugh. And last Tuesday, one of my best friends, Pedro Griffiths, who's been on the show, and we went out. It was his birthday, and his old friends, you know, we'd all known each other for nigh on 30 years. And for the whole night, we belly laughed about old stuff and embarrassing stuff and new stuff. And, you know, when you leave and your cheeks are hurting, you've laughed at all, but bloody hell, it felt great.
Well, yeah, without going into the science of it, because it's quite, there's not a lot of science in the laughter so far, because it's quite a big subject. But there is, you know, there was a fact I read the other day, and I used it in my business, that a really good bout of laughter can increase your antibodies by 20%. So there is a lot of benefits to it. And you don't even have to think about it, because you just know how good it is to have a laugh with your friends. And it's just important.
And I think through lockdown, because we as tribal animals haven't been able to do anything, we've been locked down. And it's when I always say the best friend of any mental health is loneliness. And even if we've been locked in, I'm fortunate, and Lee's fortunate, we've got a family, so we haven't been isolated. But even when you're locked in with the people you love the most, it is harder to find a laugh, isn't it? And I think we need people to get ourselves out of that slump.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know Henna has just made a comment about, she went on a laughter yoga. She had a laughter yoga session. Have you seen that comment?
Yeah. I've just brought it up on screen, so I'll read it out. So Henna, I can't see it on that. There we go. I've done some laughter yoga at the end of the training webinar. It was really therapeutic. Took people by surprise as they weren't expecting it. I think that's what I was talking about. Like, when I first spoke to you, I thought you're just going to try and get people in a room and say, everyone start laughing. And to me, that's just, you know, I just can't imagine myself doing it. And I can't imagine, you know, forcing it. But I can imagine you being in front of the room and doing what you did earlier and trying to make. And if you don't laugh, it's not the end of the world. You know, if you don't find it funny, you don't find it funny. But at some point, I think you'll break down that barrier and you'll get everyone laughing within that room, and it won't be fake laughter.
Yeah. And it's very difficult as well. As a practitioner, we've got to work, my business partner as well, we work really hard to create the right feel for people, because it's very easy for people to be a bit cringed by thinking about, oh, I've got to laugh. It's very difficult creating the right environment where they're not almost thinking about it without us being like a kind of comedian. It's so difficult. And we've had some sessions that have really not crashed, but they haven't been that good. And it's difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine so. And also, you're in an environment. So if you're going into places of work, you're in an environment where there's not a lot of that goes on anyway, really. You know, you're not sitting around laughing, you're working. So it's, I suppose, in that, when people's minds are already in that kind of environment, it's even more foreign to them to be sitting around with work colleagues and having a laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you find women respond better to it because they go into it with a blank canvas, whereas men are going, oh, I ain't going to bloody laugh?
It's really tricky. I've tried to kind of pick it apart. There's a lot of science behind it, which I'm not qualified to talk about. But from my experience, I just think that women tend to approach it with their guard down a little bit more than men. When I'm watching a lot of men on the session, they just look a bit cringe, like they're finding it they're quite uncomfortable. And even now, when we've got quite good, we've worked on how to make it better. And the thing is, I was talking about it with my business partner about a couple of months ago, like thinking, is it even a problem that if there's 95% female, 5% male? We can't really do anything about it anyway, because businesses, they have the sign-up process. But I don't think it's a problem at all. I don't think that the solution is to grab men kicking and screaming and saying, you've got to do this, you've got to laugh, and you've got to enjoy it, because that ain't going to work. I think the right attitude to have is that it's a positive experience that for your well-being if you really enjoy it. But then if you're getting positive experiences from other things like playing five-a-side football, by doing some yoga, by going for a walk, by playing with your children, then it doesn't really matter because you're getting your well-being dose. But I urge people that you've got to have some of those activities that you do. You've got to have them in a week. You've got to pick those things that really impact your mental and physical health positively and do them regularly. You don't have to do everything like laughter science, laughter yoga, but you've got to pick some that you really enjoy.
And this is why we have a whole range of guests on our podcast, that from counsellors to hypnotherapists to yourself, just to show people out there that there is different options, and not all of them are going to suit you, but you will find one that does work for you, and to keep trying and keep going forward and find it. And the same with our support group. We've had people come to the support group who come regularly. We've had people who've come once and it wasn't for them, and that's no hard feelings. Same with a podcast. If you don't enjoy listening to it, then don't do it, because it's not going to be good for your mental health, and no one will be offended by it.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you try things and give it a go with open arms. I mean, I once went to a salsa class. I didn't think I'd ever want to go, and I went and I met a long-term girlfriend there, and it was really good. I had a great time. And this is a really good one for any single guys out there, is that if you go to a yoga class yoga, for example, at a gym, it's 95% female. Don't go and be all lechy and stuff. But if you go to a yoga class and go with open arms in terms of for the practice as well, you're likely to meet someone rather than in a bar or a pub, and you're ticking all the boxes of you're looking after your well-being, you're doing something different, and potentially you might meet someone. And I don't think that's thought about a lot, like yoga and salsa and all that kind of stuff. And it's a kind of great opportunity to meet people.
Yeah, dating advice as well on Black Country Blokes now, covering everything.
Exactly. I'm telling you, I'm not giving the advice to go and like be all lechy and standing at the back.
That's not what I heard.
And you know, like that Eric Prydz video, that call on me. Not like that, but it's a great thing to do and to go and try it. If you think your boxing training, I know there's a lot of boxers who do yoga. I remember Carl Froch talking about it. He did it, and it's great for flexibility. So just to give that a try.
And I think, joking aside, like the best form of pulling or meeting a partner is often through laughter. It's when we don't take ourselves so serious, the world's a much better place. And when we can laugh at the world and laugh things around us, that's when we show our best self. So, you know, I always think we've got to take ourselves seriously, as in I will accomplish anything. But I've got to be humble and have laughs at my expense. I am not a joke, but I can have a laugh at myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a really good point, because I think, I don't know about your thoughts on it, but it's more difficult at the moment, you know, the way the world's going, for people to be able to laugh at themselves. And it's so important to, you know, when things go wrong in your life, me and my girlfriend, we just laugh about things like whatever. And, you know, I've got an 8-week-old boy. And
congratulations.
It's brilliant. I know you've got families and stuff, so you know the pleasures and the pains. But it's brilliant. And we had COVID before he was born, and we just laughed about things. And And just, I think in a world of seriousness, it's important to have that kind of unseriousness attitude.
Well, if you can have that kind of partner, I'm blessed, you know, we can have a laugh, and it does make the darkest day that little bit brighter, doesn't it? When you can just cheer yourselves up and just have a laugh about silly nonsense. It hasn't got to be some deeply profound joke. It could just be something soft. One of you's laughed or one of you's made a noise. And yeah, if you've got that, you're on to a winning chance, aren't you, mate?
Exactly. Exactly. So,
we have a comment in actually off Henna. I'll just bring it up on the screen. And this is a lot to do with what we're saying here. So she says, I think it's about being in the moment, isn't it? Mm. We're so wrapped up in what's going on, what we have to do, where we have to be, that we don't focus on the moment. And how true is that? You know, you're always going here, there and everyone else and doing simple exercise like you've just showed us, Aaron. It just brings you back here, makes you focus on here and what's going on and does generate a laugh.
Yeah, well, great. I love Henna as your best guess. I like these things. And it's really important. I think the being in the moment, you hear a lot of that in the world and online and on LinkedIn and Twitter and people putting it on. It's the most difficult behavior in what you can do. It's the most difficult behavior to master because it's just so difficult to be in the moment. And I think I don't know that many people who are very good at it. I wouldn't consider myself very good. I'm okay. And it's just incredibly difficult. And the exercises that we do, I mean, it's an example of being in the moment because you're not thinking about anything else. And, you know, the philosophy of meditation is not, it's not about clearing your mind. It's about knowing that your mind's going to be going and you need to try and kind of be okay with that and come back to your like breathing. But it's so difficult being in the moment. How do you guys do?
I mean, for me personally, I definitely agree. I've got better as I've got older, to be quite honest. But it's very, I'm not sure if it's hard to do or I don't practice it enough. And maybe sometimes that's the key to it. You know, we're always looking what's coming on in the future or what's gone on in the past. And you don't really sit and practice being where you are.
Exactly. It's so difficult. I'll share with you personally. I mean, I went to cognitive behavioral therapy about 5 years ago, and it was one of the best experiences that I've ever had. It kickstarted so much well-being in my life. And if there's anyone on struggling with anxiety or depression, I absolutely can say that the experiences that you can get through the NHS or private are brilliant and you should take full advantage of them. Anyway, I did this therapy and it was unbelievable. But the first thing that this therapist told me to do was to be in the moment with something I really enjoy. So I love cups of tea. Who doesn't? So when I got home, got a nice cup of tea, I sat in I lived in a house where I could sit in the window and like look out on a field. And I drank a cup of tea and it was like the first cup of tea I've ever drunk. And it was like I hadn't had one for 5 years and I'd had it, or I'd been like really cold, and it was beautiful because I was taking it in. And it's, you know, it's amazing how when you're at work in the office and doing work, how you're just on autopilot, you're a robot. You're eating your food as you go, you're drinking, and that it's a practice, and you've got to try and practice doing that, and it becomes more of a behavior.
Well, I had a similar experience actually when I was doing counseling, and I remember the first time I went in there and I described a moment that had happened, and she basically said, "How did you feel about that?" And I couldn't answer. And every week she'd come back and, "Well, how did you feel about that?" And I could never answer how I felt about it. I could tell her about the situation, but I couldn't tell you what was kind of going on. And it was because every time I was doing something, I was always either thinking in front or behind and not stopping and having a feeling about it. So it's a similar situation where I'll stop and actually go, "Well, actually, how did that make you feel?"
Yeah. And one thing it all starts with as well is the breath. The conversation is always about, you know, your breathing. And then also I find as well that I used to get asked in those sessions, what were you What were you thinking in terms of how were you managing that stress and anxiety? What were you saying to yourself to calm it down? And I sat there a bit like you, Lee, and like, I don't know that. I don't know. I almost got defensive. I was almost like, well, I don't know. What am I supposed to say? And I look back now and I think, you know, some things that happened in my life, and I'm like a flash, I'm saying stuff to calm it down. And I think it's really important that in calm moments, you sit down and think about how you're going to manage those stressful and anxious moments a little bit better.
It's hard to try and calm them down when you're being manic at the time, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's impossible. You can't do it. And I know I remember learning about it, is that you've gone too far, and then you've just got to manage and bring it back down. And in your calm moments, you've got to, and that's what you do in the process of counselling, is you fill out the form, don't you, of like, how did it make you feel, and what were you, and you go through that process of how you can be better next time. And the being in the moment is actually quite important, because you then acknowledging how you're feeling and understanding how you can make it better.
But you've got to do it when you're in the right frame of mind, haven't you? Because once again, you're in a fit of frenzy. You're up for a fight, and someone goes, well, how would you resolve this? And you go, well, I'm only thinking of one thing now. So you have to make those decisions when you're in the right frame of mind, haven't you? Does that make sense to you? Because like, it's like when you're having an anxiety attack or whatever, and they're going, well, how would you resolve this next time? You're going, hang on, I think I'm going to die here. And it's the same if you're going to have a fight in the pub or on the playground, going, well, how would you resolve this in the future? Because you're not thinking with logical sense then. You've got to do it when you're feeling right in your own mind, to put in plans for when it might not be right.
Yeah, spot on.
But it's funny, like, and when we live in the moment, we're all this. We look at our phones, we watch the TV, we watch our favourite programme on Netflix. Whereas that's not actually living in the moment, is it? That's distraction. And me and the family, me, my wife and my daughter went to Butlins, we went to Weymouth, and I don't take my phone when I go on holiday. So when they were going to the toilet or whatever, and I sat there on my own, I was living in the moment. I was people watching, I was being nosy. And it was great, because that's living in the moment, you know, filling in your boredom by being observant. Otherwise, you just look down at your phone, don't you? So even if we're just living in that kind of moment, because it wasn't like they weren't gone for ages. They were literally going to the bar, going to the toilet to get an ice cream. But for those few seconds that I wasn't with my family, I lived in the moment of being on my own.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think it's the biggest challenge you can take on of being better at enjoying moments and slowing down. And then, and I know in counselling session, everything starts with breath. And I think that if you don't have a daily practice of deep breathing techniques, it could be something small, like after your gym session, you do like 10 deep breaths to recuperate. I think you've got to have something every day, because that helps you to slow down and just connect with something kind of inside. And so do you do any Kevly, and do you do any of deep breathing techniques, or
you know what, I've started doing it recently, because I listened to a podcast with Wim Hof. Well, I've listened to a few now with Wim Hof, and he really advocates breathing. And I've started listening to an audiobook, and I can't remember, it's the Jiu-Jitsu people, and he's brought out a book called Breathe, and he says in there the importance of actually stopping and breathing, and realizing in certain situations that your breath can really help you out and lower your anxieties in fighting situations, in rings and in stuff like that, to bring your heart rate down. Because I know myself, when I spar, my heart rate shoots through the roof and I'm tired before I should be. And it's not really that I'm tired, that my arms are aching, I can't throw them punches. It's more that I've worked myself into a frenzy in my own mind and made myself tired.
Yeah. It's one of the most difficult things to remain calm in a very stressful situation. And the people that do it, like the professional boxers at the top of the game, it's incredible.
Well, like when I take the guys in the corner, the first thing I do, take the gum shield down, sit them down, put my hand on the chest, And I go, well, now I'm talking, you're gonna breathe into your belly, diaphragmatic breathing, or just breathe into your lower part of your lungs. And I get the breathing right, and I'll just talk. I've only got a minute to talk, so I'll give them about 30 seconds, just talking, breathing, get my hand off there. Then about 45 seconds into it, stand up. And then I'm just talking short words, but just get the breathing right first. So I go, give me water, give me water. When what your body's craving there more than water is air. And isn't it funny? The only thing I can remember at school is if I don't breathe, I die. It's the most simple thing in the world to breathe. But when we're panicked, like when I have my panic attacks or whatever, you convince yourself that you can't breathe. But it's the most natural thing on God's green earth, isn't it, breathing?
Yeah. And do you know what? Like, I do deep breathing before bed every night. I probably do about half an hour. And I don't want to be disgusting here, but sometimes if I've got like, I feel like trapped wind, you know, you feel a bit after you've had a big meal or something. I feel, ugh. As soon as I lie down flat and I do five deep breaths, farting, burping, it's all coming out. And I guarantee it, I read a book, it's by Christian Larson. It was written in the 1920s. Way before his time, and he said about deep breathing techniques. I can't remember what the quote was. It was something about it can reduce your problems by 20%. But anyway, I can't remember what it was. But I guarantee if you've got any like kind of stomach issues or anything, you're feeling a bit rubbish, if you lie down and do 10 deep breaths, I guarantee something will happen.
I try and do it. I curve my 20-odd years of counselling, in and out, working with NLP. And I'm very lucky. I went into it with an open mind. But a lot of times now when I try, when I go to bed, to do some self-hypnotism or meditation, whatever one you call, breathing, get myself breathing right, get whatever, and then talk to myself positively. And what I started doing is, look, Kev, you've done all you can do today. There's nothing else you can do. Get your rest now because you deserve this, and we'll go again tomorrow. And I'll try and say that to myself every night. But I start by getting my breathing right, getting my breathing, get the tingles going. But we've got to try it, haven't we? And if it doesn't work for you, I think the more things in life we can try, hopefully one of them things that we try along the way, law of averages, one of them will make us better.
Well, you just said about the mindful, about what you did there, is that you in a calm moment spoke to yourself in a way that would then help you in the non-calm moments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once you're off in that zone of anxiety and depression, it's never going to, you're not going to bring it down easy. And it's a really good example of how to manage things better.
But we've got to put things in place for when they're not okay. Because when they're not okay, we fall back on habits. And those habits are normally bad habits. It is easier to create a habit than it is to break a habit, i.e. with smoking, drink, drugs. And I think sometimes when we go down that rabbit hole or in that dark room, we fall back on the things we've all fell back on, and they're often not positive. But if we put positive things in place, then hopefully we can fall back onto those.
Yeah. And you've probably talked about it loads on your podcasts before, but you know, with the COVID restrictions and what happened with lockdown, is it forced people to make positive changes. And I know people talk about things, it was quite difficult, it's been a difficult time for a lot of people, but there has been positive elements to people's lives. And I hear about it on the sessions we do, is that people are commuting less, they're spending, you know, 2 hours more at home, they're not being in a car with bad posture, they're spending more time with the family. And It's a real positive behavior. But the thing is now things are returning back to normal, is how many people are going to keep those positive behaviors that they've learned in a short space of time? Are they going to revert back into a bad habit? Because most of the people, it's just straight back into that bad habit. So it's really interesting what's happened over the last year and a half.
But isn't it funny, like when you're on holiday, you go, I'll tell you something. Kate, when I come back off holiday, I'm not going to get wound up. I'm just not going to sweat the small stuff. I'll tell you something. By the time you've got your baggage off the carousel, you want to lamp someone. You've drove home. You've had 10 arguments. And you're thinking, we do things in the best intent. We go, I am going to change my ways. I am no longer going to get wound up. I'm going to take deep breaths. I'm going to laugh more. But we only do that for 2 weeks, or in this case, 2 years. We've had a whole lifetime of building up those bad habits. And when this happens in this way, I react in this way. But if we keep doing the same things over and over, how are we expecting things to change? So we need to put these things in place and work at them. It's like when you're pooling and you say, I'm not going to finish our antibiotics, but I feel better now. We have to finish the course. We have to keep going for our massage and our physios, even when we're feeling good. So we have things in place for when we're not feeling so well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's people looking after their well-being. It's so difficult to get people to do it. And I was a personal trainer and yeah, I know as boxing coaches that to keep people motivated is so difficult because people just relapse into, you know, I've been to counseling twice. So, you know, it's not fully worked. I've had to go back again. And it's so difficult just to keep people motivated.
And it is. And this year has been a year of we can't. And I think humans are brilliant at adapting, but we haven't really got sure about what we're adapting to. And like the first lockdown, we all did Joe Wicks. We all did our runs. We did our walks. We did our press ups. And with every lockdown and the weather got worse and then it got better than you, I can't be bothered. Because why am I doing it when it's going to shut down again? But the ones who did it well, like my mom, God rest her, God bless her, sorry, she was walking 5K every day, rain, sleet or snow, because she knew she had to get off the settee and do something. And that, you know, that's that mental strength, that mental well-being.
Yeah, and it's laying down the challenge to people listening out there that it has been a tough year and a half, but yeah, when you read up on I read up on businesses because I own my own business and like how when you go through tough times, it builds more positivity. And I challenge people that over the last year and a half, there's positive things that have come from it, that you're commuting less, you're spending less time in the office, you spent more time with your family, you've done a bit more fitness. Maybe your social life has slowed down because it's been forced to. And that's not a bad thing because I think people do a lot and they fill their lives with complexity. Is almost to sit down consciously and think, what positive changes am I going to continue to happen? Because if you don't do that consciously, you'll just unconsciously flip back into those bad habits.
And I think what you said, growth only comes through hard times. Growth only comes when it's tough and unsettled, like a rainbow. We all had the rainbow for the NHS, but a rainbow can only happen when you've got the sunshine and the rain. We need both sides of the coin to make us grow, like that sunflower in the garden.
Yeah, and it's a good philosophy.
I think going back to talking about training and getting the motivation, I think people have got to stop looking for the motivation and look to routine instead. Because if you're not motivated, you won't go ahead and do something. But if it's in your routine, you will keep doing that thing. So, you know, forget about motivation. Get into a routine.
Yeah. Well, how do you guys, I mean, you're well-versed in like dealing with anxiety, depression, counselling, etc. What are your thoughts on, because I try and help people on webinars and sessions to kind of help them to make positive changes. And it's just a no-go. People just are almost just not going to listen. What do you guys think about almost if people want to improve their life, they've almost got to go and see a specialist. They've got to go and see someone who can break it down for them. What do you reckon?
I think we're all different. I mean, me personally, I always think if I want my hair cut, I don't want the gardener to do it. You know what I mean? If I've had breakthroughs in counselling and NLP and hypnotherapy, but I've also had breakthroughs on this podcast by talking to people like yourself and like other people. And I think education is the key. By talking to people, more people you talk to, hopefully you find more answers. Therapy isn't for everyone. And I think you'll only get help when you're ready to get help. I can't share to someone saying, stop doing drugs, stop having affairs, stop doing... Because that person will go, yeah, whatever. They will do it when they are ready. You know what I mean? And, you know, what's it I'll say? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah. Lee?
Yeah, I think I echo what you're saying. I think I know, I've been to counselling twice now, and Although it's hard to say. Did it make me feel better when I'd done it? Yes. But was it the real breakthrough in helping my mental health? No. It was doing this podcast and doing the support group and things along like that and speaking to people. So I do understand the importance of professionals, definitely. But I think speaking to, we have people within our support group who've been through similar experiences to me with having a disabled daughter. They have disabled children. And I think speaking to someone who's in that same experience has really helped me.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you got any good experiences in the gym where a young person has really like turned their life around in terms of their well-being and their outlook on life?
Oh, we've got hundreds. Like every gym, every dojo, boxing gym, football. My favourite one is Ashton Nixon. He's been on the show twice. He was referred to us through connections. He'd been expelled through school. He was a naughty little bugger. Turned him right, got in boxing, doing really well. He was going to go into Royal Marines. Got into a punch-up, said he couldn't get in the Marines. So inside, said cocaine, working, drug dealing, gun crime, went to prison. He come out of prison and he went to me. So, excuse me. Kev, you saved my life once. Can you do it again? Well, of course, Ash. Got him training, got him clean, got him away from there, got him a novice Midlands Championship. And he said, Kev, no, don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me, Kev. When I was in prison, I went, what happened, Ash? And he goes, when I was in prison, I found God. I went, why would I laugh at you? Why would I be ashamed of that? And now he's travelling the world, being an evangelist, speaking the word of God. And he always says to people, he's got his own church in Wales and he's studying all around. And he said, if I hadn't have had the love of the Lions, I could never have accepted the love of the Lord. And that's just one story over the last 21 years. People who we've kept going right instead of going left. You know, and that's what sport, that's what community can do for people. You know what I mean? And just showing these people, some people haven't got families. Some people have got massive families. Yeah, but it's showing people that you love them. And love goes a long way. Love like laughter can save the world.
Exactly. That's incredible. That's a really good story. I bet you're really proud about that.
I'm more proud of him than my lads who've won ABA titles. But one day, you know, if you ever come down here, you can meet some of the real life stories. You know, it don't matter what colour you are, what sexuality you are, how much money you've got. Once you're in here, you're part of the Lions family. And that's not just our club, you know. You go to clubs around the country where even the police won't go, and you'll find a boxing gym, or you'll find a dojo, you'll have a football or a cricket team, because the coaches, the volunteers who, you know, they love the people. You know, with love comes change, with love comes growth.
I'm gonna come and have a good box and... And just see everyone there.
But how can people find you, Aaron? How can they find all the good work you're doing?
Well, we don't really do drop-in sessions because, I mean, I'll be really open here, that not really business viable. It's really difficult to, and we talked about the motivation and getting people to keep coming. I mean, when I was a personal trainer, the dropout rate is just so quick. So we do sessions for businesses. Any organisation where they want to get their employees together and have a good time. So I suppose the only way would be if you want to speak to your employee about having a session. I mean, if you quote your work, we could give, let's do it for half price, any session that we do. And then we do all content for children. So there's all free content on our website to get children active and happy. So if you wanted to put the website on, it's like www.laughtersize.co.uk.
I've added it to the description, Aaron, so it's in the description currently. So if anyone does want to get, I think I'll put that in your Twitter account off the top of my head. So if anyone does want to get in touch with Aaron, no doubt that's the best place to find him.
Great. And look, I'm not on here to sell my business, but you know, if that is what's something the way you work would like to do, that'd be great. And then the children's side is that there's free content on there that children can do at any time. There's 10 free videos. And then for schools, they like pay a yearly fee, which is quite low. So if the school signed up, then your child would be getting that as part of that sign up. So, but yeah, there's a load of free stuff on there that children can go and have a look at. And even adults, I mean, you can go and there's some good stuff on there that even adults might find challenging.
You're never too old to laugh.
Exactly. Never.
So, Aaron, before we end the show, before we go into your quote, we're going to advertise Thursday. Who's on our radio show on Black Country Extra on Thursday, Lee?
You put me on the spot now.
Is it John?
John, yeah. So John Reed, who does poetry, and he goes around prisons and just is a very creative person. He's got a CIC himself. And I'll let it, yeah, hopefully you'll listen in and he'll explain his story a bit more and what he's doing and what he's about.
And tomorrow at the Lions ABC, we do our support group every Wednesday evening, 7 till 9. Now, we haven't got a booking anymore, so anyone is welcome just to turn up. Come with an open mind. As we always say, we're not experts, but we are experienced. We expect people to be kind of considerate, you know, understand that people might have different views, and we're there to help each other. I'd hate for someone to leave a session worse than what they came.
So that's a men-only support group and over 18s.
Yes. So, Aaron, thank you ever so much for coming on. But before you leave us, have you got any quotes or sayings that have helped you get through life?
Do you know what, right? I've gone for a different view, a different take on this, because it's a practical piece of advice to look after yourself. I'm not qualified to talk about it scientifically in depth, but vitamin D, okay? I've done a lot of research on it personally in my life, and I super supplement on vitamin D. And I absolutely urge people to do their research on vitamin D, because it's a big thing coming in now. You've heard about it in COVID. You've heard about it. It's in the news. We've got a baby and it's about vitamin D drops, and it's going to be bigger in the next 10 years as the science kind of comes out. But I read a quote somewhere, 95% of people in the UK are vitamin D deficient. So that's below like what you need just to kind of operate. So I think a practical piece of advice would be look at vitamin D, try and get more into your body. And, you know, it's dead easy to do. You can get super supplements from Boots, from Asda, and it's something that you can do and you can just tick off, and it's not too much effort. And I'd leave on that practical advice.
Well, brother, thank you ever so much for coming on. So until we talk next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Ta-ra, repeat.
Listen. And that's a wrap for another show. But if there are any comments or messages that you would like us to read out for our next podcast, please be in touch. There are also lots of different organisations at the bottom of this page, and hopefully they can help you or someone you care about. Please share this to spread the word. Until we talk next time, ta-ra, a bit.
Listen.